Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Danish-born jazz guitarist Jacob Gurovitz. We talked to him about his new 2026 album called Dreamcatcher, his career in the music, life in the modern world, and the wisdom garnered over a career in the music world. He has had a litany of cultural paths while he's traveled plenty and spending a lot of time living and learning in both Buenos Aires and Rio de Janeiro. He was drawn to the Spanish guitar during his late 20s and found himself playing bolero, a 19th century Cuban voice and guitar tradition. He began practicing on nylon strings 2 hours a day, his first committed training since his student days at the Conservatoire in Copenhagen. His career has been full of so much music and adventure. We get into all of it and more. Enjoy this interview. Well, it's great to meet you. I'm looking forward to getting into the music. So thank you again for taking a minute out today.
Yeah, thank you for letting me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's begin our journey before we get into your music by asking you this. 6 years ago, this pandemic was changing the world, changing so many facets about the way we live, especially with musicians. How did you get through that era, and how has it changed the way that you live and create today?
Well, I was actually in Mallorca on holiday with my girlfriend when everything closed down, and we just got back to, I lived in Copenhagen at that time. And when I came home, within 24 hours, I got 35 jobs, playing jobs canceled. My whole next half year was canceled. And for me, it was actually the biggest gift I've had ever. Because the gigs I got canceled was, at that time, I was a sideman playing, other people's music, touring with soul music bands. I did a lot of television shows, etc. And then I had a chance only to focus on two things: my own music, but also I was joining a label startup. So I actually had the chance to work starting this record label with two friends. So I just worked 12 hours a day through all the pandemic with these two things, writing songs and working on the record label, starting it up.
So let's get into music right now. Dreamcatcher is a new single. Talk to me a little bit about what's going on with you musically today.
Well, I just produced this new album called Dreamcatcher, and it was 2 years since I released an album. And at that time, in between that time, I've been very much involved in this record label, but at the same time, writing music all along the way. And I think for me, Dreamcatcher is about catching your own dreams. For many years, I used to play with a lot of other people's and a lot of other musicians and making their dreams come true. I was like a sideman guitar player. And it was important for me to really start working on realizing my own musical dreams in life.
So what was the overarching vision for this album? What are you ultimately hoping to convey to the listener, and what they should get from this project?
Well, I play Spanish guitar,
Yeah.
And I remember when I started playing Spanish guitar, people would say, "Oh, so you play flamenco guitar?" And I was just like, "No, I play Spanish guitar and I love a good melody." So I think this album it's almost like a pop, like an instrumental pop album with Spanish guitar, but it's with, cello. And it's like a cinematic university. I would say it's a cinematic vibe. And, my love for melodies, I hope that, because that's what I really like, melodies. So I hope that plays through the whole album.
So let's take a step back here to the beginnings for you. Take me back to where you were born and raised, and how did the guitar and how did music become your destiny?
Well, I'm from the countryside in Denmark, and I started playing guitar because my mother was a school teacher, and she taught me and my sister a few chords, and suddenly one day my sister knew how to play more chords than I did. So, of course, then I wanted to play guitar. So I was very lucky in a young age to have some good teachers around where I live. And then I just knew my destiny was going to be music. And I went to the conservatory in Denmark, and I studied 1 year at the New School in New York. And yeah, that was the way my music career got shaped.
So, who were early influences? Who were you listening to? Who did you look up to? How did you kind of find your voice on the instrument?
Well, one of my early influences was actually in my home because my mother is Swedish, and there's a very, very amazing Swedish piano player called Jan Johansson. He made a famous album called Jazz in Swedish, and he has this melodic vibe like Bill Evans and these guys, you know. And I was very, this was what I was listening to in the everyday life of when I grew up. And this is very melodic piano. So I was very inspired by this. And I guess when I started playing Spanish guitar, I just had this, you know, I used to play a lot of jazz, which can be complex, but I always was inspired by the melodic players. So that's been my biggest inspiration in life, people who play lyrically and also in a melancholic way. I love melancholia.
So, do you remember the first concert that you saw, the first musical performance that made you think, I want to be up there one day, I want to do that for people?
I remember when I was in high school, I went to Hague Jazz Festival in Holland, and I heard Miles Davis play. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, 17 or something like that. And that was absolute mind-blowing because I had heard a lot of great concerts, but what he did, he just made a dimension that you cannot really touch or feel. And that was very, very magical. And I knew from that time, I just knew that music was going to be my life.
So, when you did realize that you were going to be a musician and that was going to be your destiny, you have this idea of what it's going to be like to be a professional musician, what your life every day is going to be like. And then you actually start living it. You become the musician, you're living that world. What's been the difference between the dream of what you thought it would be like and actually living your life as a professional musician?
It's like the thing is that I think you have a very, very, very simplified picture of what it is to live like a musician. Yeah, I'm going to be a musician, I'm going to tour the world and blah, blah, blah. And what happens is that the journey you start is like made of 1,000 little steps. You go left, you go right, you go straight, you go back, you go. It is really one big education, to be honest. And I started playing electric guitar, you know, and electric guitar, and in the beginning was jazz, and then I played some pop tours and got into television and but played mainly electric guitar until I met this band, a very famous Danish band that has been touring in South America, and they asked me to join them, and they said you need to speak because they had been recording some albums with bolero music, which is Spanish guitar influenced. So they said you need to play Spanish guitar if on this tour, and I bought a Spanish guitar, and this was in my late 20s, beginning of my 30s, and it was just like there was this red carpet rolled out in front of me, and I just knew when I got that instrument in my hand and started playing it and started checking it out, I knew that that was going to be my main instrument for the rest of my life. And from then, it was just a journey of when I could replace everything else with only playing Spanish guitar, like making a living of that. Which I'm fortunate enough to do today, but it took me 20 years.
So I gotta ask you, it's very rare that I run into people that see Miles Davis perform live and to feel that level of energy in the room and a master. I think about modern jazz and modern music overall, where we've gone since Miles has left, because Miles was such a evolved, progressive musician. He didn't stick in one idiom. He really kind of went through so many different incarnations. Do you think he would be happy with where we've evolved to as musical organisms and the sounds we're putting out in the universe?
Yes, I absolutely think he would, because that's in his DNA. I even think that he would embrace AI music. Because, you know, I think because that's in his DNA, it's to be progressive and it's to evolve all the time, to be curious and always reinvent music. So no, I think he would be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you look forward to every day when you wake up as a professional musician, being a creator, making music that makes people feel good? What do you look forward to? What's the greatest part of this?
Well, I have a daily schedule, a routine that I follow most days, and that is that I wake up very early. So I get up in the morning, and then the first thing I do is co to compose. So I sit in my studio right away, just drink some water, and then I start composing, recording and composing for about 45 minutes, and then I kind of start repeating. And just the second I start repeating myself, I stop. And that's it for the day. And then after that, I practice for 25 minutes, guitar. And then I practice the language, Spanish, for 20 minutes after that. And then I practice guitar again for 25 minutes. And then I do a workout. And that's my morning routine. That's like 3 hours. And when I've done that, then I'm free to do what I want the rest of the day. And I can, you know, maybe write more, and I can work on the label I'm involved in, and I can read books and whatever I want to do, but I have to do that every morning. And when the thing is, if you do it every day, then the first session of the day, it compounds, you know. So I end up having a lot of songs in the end of the year. So that's kind of my strategy. Instead of waiting to be inspired, then working my way through and getting inspired by doing it every day.
You know, the one thing about your career is that you've been around for a little while. You've been in different areas of the music world and business, from performing to recording and producing and all these different areas. When you get around young minds, young musicians, what do you try to teach them about not only being a musician, but about the business and about this world that you're in?
I think two things. I think the most, what I try to tell young musicians is that they should start making their own music. Because I've seen so many great musicians, and it's not that there's anything wrong with it, but only, I'm saying only, being a side man. And the thing is that at certain time in your life, maybe you want to change it, but it becomes more and more difficult because you get dependent on this paycheck every month. You know, if you don't work, you don't get paid. So I try to encourage young musicians to start their own, like, business in quotation, you know, making their own songs, anything that has involved music rights or IP or whatever, making their own songs in order to start being entrepreneurial on their own premises, because that just gets, at least for me, it's been the best thing I've done in my life, because I became, like, here within the last 5, 10 years, I became free in life because I can make a living on my music, but it's only because I made my own music.
So, coming from America, and you've talked about living in Dubai, there's a war going on. There's a lot of stress in the world. There's a lot of things that are stressful. And I always feel like musicians and artists have represented a way of gluing society together, making us feel like we're a part of a community, and that the music is going to help us get through it, that we aren't going to drift so far away we're going to forget who we are. So my question to you is this: how much do you think about giving people either recorded or live music, or in any capacity music? Are you thinking about what's going on in the world right now and helping people get away from the headlines and feel the comfort of music more and more today?
Yeah, I think I've always had a kind of a, what you can say, a stoic view on life. You know, because I don't, of course, I care tremendously about what's going on in the world, but I know what I can change and I know what I cannot change. So I really, really try to focus on changing what I can. And what I can change is I can make music, I can write songs, I can make music videos, etc. You know, this is what I can change. I cannot change whether the world is in war, but I can change and try to make the world a little bit a better place through my music.
So you're in different genres of music, but for jazz specifically, for our purposes, why do you love this art form we call jazz?
Jazz is absolute my favorite art form. It's of all time, and I love it because of the element of improvisation. You know, from you know, when I played jazz for 20, 15, 20 years, I played standard jazz and I had bands and wrote songs, and I will always be my favorite genre because of improvisation, sound, harmonies. Yeah, it's just the most seducing genre for me ever. When I ever have time off and I listen to jazz.
So today we are entering a very sad day one of saying goodbye to Sonny Rollins. The effect, the love that he put into the world, he was a transcendent force that was beyond music. But I'm curious, how did Sonny shape the way that you view jazz? How did he help you feel better about being a human on this planet?
Well, I remember one of, I think one of the albums in I've listened the most to in my life is The Bridge by Sonny with Jim Hall on guitar, and that album is just absolute amazing, and it has this West Coastian sound, even though he was from New York, and but it had this soft sound, and he plays so amazing on that. And for me also, what happened was I listened to that record a lot when I was young, a young jazz player, and but it was later I heard the story that he'd actually stopped playing, and then he stopped gigging, he stopped playing gigs, and he was just woodshedding, just rehearsing and rehearsing and practicing and practicing, practicing, not in public, not any gigs, redefining his play, taking kind of a time out for everything. And he was, playing on the bridge, Brooklyn Bridge. And for me, that was a very, very intense, very fascinating story, because that's actually what I did myself, because I used to play electric guitar and play jazz. And then kind of late in my musical life, I found the Spanish guitar, which is this complete different instrument with a complete different technique. So I really had to reinvent myself. I had to go practice for many, many years before I even dared playing in public. So that album, he that shaped my life.
So, Jacob, at the end of the day, everyone has a perception of you. Family, friends, fans, everyone on the bandstand, everyone on the business end, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Who I am? Well, I am a big, big music lover. And I'm also an entrepreneur. I love to create stuff, and I love to live. I love to inspire but I love to proactively inspire myself to create. To make a dent in this universe.
So, if anybody wants to catch you live, get a copy of Dreamcatcher. I know it's streaming, but if anybody wants to dive into any and everything in your world, where's the best place to go to do that?
Yeah, well, I have my Instagram and my YouTube channel, and I played live gigs last year. I'm gonna take a break this year and probably go touring next year again. So yeah, on my social is the best bet, and of course, the streaming services.
Okay. I will put links in the show notes. This has been absolutely wonderful. Wonderful to meet you. Thank you so much for taking a minute out today. Travel well. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Denmark, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Jacob for swinging on by the show. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.